Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Shall we pray? Father, that we could, as it were, echo the words of the psalmist to bless your wonderful, perfect, holy name, Creator, Redeemer, and as you were to Abraham and to all those that fear you, Friend. God, I ask as we gather today that you would be honored, that the Lord Jesus would be pursued as we follow him, and that your Spirit would be the comforter in our lives, that he would be resonant, that he would encourage us, challenge us, strengthen us, embolden us. Lord, we gather in the name of our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Let all things now living a song of thanksgiving to God the Creator triumphantly raise, who fashioned and made us, protected and stayed us, who guideth us the end of our days. His banners are o'er us, his light goes before us, a pillar of fire shining forth in the night, till shadows have vanished and darkness is banished, as forward we travel from light into light. His law he enforces, the stars in their courses, the sun in its orbit obediently shine. The hills and the mountains, the rivers and fountains, the depths of the ocean proclaim him divine. We too should be voicing our love and rejoicing with glad adoration. A song let us raise, till all things now living unite in thanksgiving to God in the highest. Hosanna and praise. us vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Underneath me, all around me, is the current of His love, leading onward, leading homeward to my glorious rest above. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus spread His praise from shore to shore. How He loveth, ever loveth, changeth never, never more. How He watches o'er His loved ones, died to call them all His own. How for them He intercedeth, watcheth o'er them from the throne. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, love of every love the best. 'Tis an ocean vast of blessing, 'tis a haven sweet of rest. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, 'tis a heaven of heavens to me, and it lifts me up to glory, for it lifts me, Lord, to Thee.
God provides a different kind of comfort. So the title of this is a different kind of comfort. We've certainly familiarized ourselves with the idea of peace and rest. Of course, the requirement of security goes along with that. And we look for comfort when we're either in a time of stress, anxiety, fear, illness, disease, and often we look for relief. For those of us who have a little easier life and not stressed by things like protest or stressed with things like cancer, memory loss, and not the kind where you just went to a room and, what did I come here for? A little deeper than that. You know where I'm going. But most of us here, when we think of comfort, we think of maybe up on the hill, Comfort Suites, a nice spot for a vacation. Oh, they got a good breakfast. Ooh. Not during COVID, but maybe Comfort Inn, a cozy chair, a comfy warm blanket, comfort food. When we go to relax, we look for things that are both convenient and comfortable. And we have a long list of things that fits that bill. You could probably tag out your own list. What is comfortable to you? The scriptures come at us a little differently today in the kind of comfort that is presented. And I want us to take from this, and I think it was presented in the song as well. When we sing of, oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, everybody wants to smile. We want it to be light, lighthearted, faster, funner, inspiring, and make it more enthusiastic. That sounds too much like a funeral dirge for me to really get into about the deep, deep love of Jesus. Well, I want to talk about the deep, deep love of Jesus. I want to do something else.
I want it to move me.
And that I'm not being critical. That's
how we feel.
Comfy is not
bare wooden chair.
You know, comfy's not the tire swing. It's the new fashion thing that hangs in an ergonomic fashion and your whole body fits in as if it was made for you. Just like a glove nowadays. None of these, you know, good old-fashioned leather gloves smack your hand. And no, it's got a tight fit, snug.
See, the comfort that God brings isn't that snuggy kind of comfort, necessarily.
And so the Scripture gives us some indication of what divine comfort looks like. And so let's go there, Isaiah 40, and just think this through. Just quick, just by a show of hands, who wants me to sing this? Okay. Comfort ye, comfort ye, my people.
And cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, that her iniquity is pardoned. The voice of him who crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
And then the choir comes in and sings,
every valley, every...
Didn't think you were going to get that in church today, did you? Well, you might have got that back, about 1600-something, right? With Handel. And this is his rendition or rendering of what comfort sounded like in his day. Now, my son here is looking at me like, that was weird, Dad. That's weirding me out. And anybody who goes to church today, no matter which building it is, that's weird. That was a little classic music, just making you feel cozy, inspired, and enthusiastic about the love of Jesus. But comfort comes differently when it's divine comfort. Comfort's cry is the cry, and it's a cry. And it's not a, I need comfort. No, it's a cry. The New Testament makes this. This is Isaiah. This is like back there, right? Isaiah, prophet, 700 years before the New Testament. The New Testament cashes in on this and says, the voice of him who cries in the wilderness was who? Come on, help me out here. Let's listen to some of the signature sounds of John the Baptist. Let's get away from Handel. Let's go back to John the Baptist. You brood of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come?
The axe is laid to the base of the tree. It's coming down. You guys came down here. You're a bunch of hypocrites, Pharisees. Woe to you. From these stones, God is going to raise up children unto Abraham. You're not in. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Try that word, repent, today. And it's sad to say it in church. Say it in this building sometimes, depending on the people that are here. You need to repent. You not only have made a bad decision, you are making decisions that lead you away from God. Repent! Turn around! Turn from your wicked way towards God. That will provide you comfort. It's the only means to comfort. Sorry, I got the preaching there. I'm going to tone it down a little bit more, okay? Just got to back off a little bit. Don't want you to feel like G-force. And I'll back off. Here, verse 2. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry out to her. It's a somber sound. It's a solitary voice. We're hoping that it's that still, small voice that reaches us in that profound time of depression, the time of grief, the time of need where our hearts are ready. Oh, God, please. But even in this case, even if they're not ready, the voice that's crying in the wilderness is to speak comfortably to Jerusalem, cry to her. And there are three things there. Three things that are there. Accomplished warfare, pardoned iniquity, and double received for sin. I want to just jump to verse 6. Just bringing this up, it's interesting. The prophet actually asks God, what is it that I'm supposed to say? Do you ever think that a pastor does this too? The prophet asks God, what shall I cry? Verse 6. And part of the reason I read Psalm 103 today is to help us to see this interplay that the prophet's bringing up. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. What shall I cry? There are two things to take from this. That first, the frailty of our flesh, the fleeting vigor of human frailty. Of course, you can see this in our change of seasons. I love this time of year. I haven't seen anything like this year. First, we had a nice rain. Oh, my potatoes. Big, nice. Oh, great. But then, drought. So the corn didn't make it. I feel bad about that. I wanted to have corn for our chili cook-off. Well, first, I got it protected. No deer, no coons got the corn, but the frost did. So a week ago, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all frost. Psh, look at the corn now. It's all dry. Like up here, it's still green. Down there, where it frosted harder, it's all brown. Looks like field corn. The change of season, so quickly. One day, we're looking at the maple tree. It's just a hint of yellow. Now it's brilliant orange. Just a day. What a frost does. And that's really a picture of what the voice in the wilderness is crying out. It says, all flesh is grass, and as the flower of the field, it flourishes. That so quickly it is gone. Now, I talked to you today about frost. They're talking about a Khamsin wind. It's a south wind that comes up from the desert that as soon as it hits, it's a jump from like 80-degree weather to 110-degree weather, and the tender shoots and the springing flower just, it's so hot and dry, it vanishes forever. Just that quick. And that comparison, that visual that's given of the flower of the field in a moment's time. The closest thing I can come to is what the pumpkin plants look like the day after the frost. And the kids would be able to say, some of those the pumpkins are nice. They're out there out on the pavilion. Give them a look. But the plants were this high. Huge fronds and leaves that were, just jagged cones of jutting foliage. And then the frost comes, and a day later, leveled to the ground, black and brown, and shades of gray. The prophet uses this illustration, this imagery, to help us to reflect on our humanity. How is that comforting? Speak ye comfort. Okay, I'm supposed to cry unto Jerusalem with words of comfort. You're nothing but a pumpkin plant after a frost. You're like a flower. You look pretty for a day, and then the calm scene, southern wind comes, whoosh, desert rose. Oh, that's comforting. Where's the comfort in that, folks? The comfort's in the contrast. The comfort is in the contrast. I can only give you today the picture of it when we sing the dirge. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free. Do you know what? At the end of that song, it doesn't resolve to a major. It's still a minor key. For any musical person, you're like, it can't stop that way. I'm still sad. Even I expected to go to a major on that. Just give me a happy note in the whole thing, please. Never comes. The comfort's in the contrast, folks. The depth of God's love in Jesus Christ is the fact that his love is indicated in the sadness of the death of Christ on your behalf. It's in the heart-wrenching realization that I'm grass and this is fire. It's in the hard truth that I am full of iniquity and I need forgiveness, and the offering from God is this. And that's when we go back to verse 2. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. These political times are bothersome. They're exhausting. There's unrest in the street. There's a feeling of panic, anxiety on any side. And we haven't even really had a conflict yet. What the scripture is seeming to indicate here is that no matter what the outside stresses may be, whatever earthly struggles are still ongoing, there is a declaration in heaven that her warfare is accomplished. What I have intended to accomplish and achieve in Jerusalem, in this case, is done. She has received double for all her iniquities. Just quickly, this is kind of couching things. Warfare accomplished, receiving double. I'm going to start over here. I'm going to start at the point, the third saying, and talk about that for just a few minutes. That having received the Lord's hand double, can you understand that the comfort in the contrast may actually be that you have to struggle, that you have to deal with that depression or anxiety, or you have to harness from your troubles what God is trying to accomplish in you. And I say that personally. This prophetic text is really nationally. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem. Who's he talking to? Well, he's not talking to me. He's not talking to you. But it is a picture if you can put it on our wall today, it's a picture of how God comforts his people. He speaks to them that they had received double for all their iniquity. There's a couple of different ways that this has been looked at. I tend to go to Ezekiel 23, and there is a comparison there about how Samaria fell. That's the northern kingdom, and the split between Rehoboam and Jeroboam, which we've talked about previously. Solomon's son on one side, and the commander of the army who did a coup on the other, and there were two kingdoms formed. So Israel was split in two. But at the end of all this, and through the prophet, we find out that both the capital of Jeroboam's kingdom and the capital of Rehoboam's kingdom both fell. Samaria to Assyria in 722 BC, and Jerusalem to Babylon 586 BC. And so they've received double for all their iniquities. You see, that both kingdoms that could be attributed to Israel fell on hard times and were defeated. That's the idea repeated in Ezekiel when Ezekiel confronted everybody who was living at that time with their defilement, with their whoredom, with idolatry. Others have taken it, and it showed up in Psalm 103. Removing mirth, that's one part of dealing with sin. Mirth, happiness, joy, the frequency of laughter, the frequency of opportunity to just make light of anything. The removal of mirth, and then the actual introduction of circumstances that give you reason to mourn, reason for grieving. So the removal of mirth and the reasons for grieving, double. Another expression is given in Job, in the wisdom literature, the reversal that takes place in Job. And he does it in the opposite way, the writer of Job does it in the opposite, where Job experiences such pain, such toil, such loss. He grieves because his friends are of no help. But at the end, God intervenes, comes through, gives his explanation, gives his strong reasons, and Job then is basically laid out on his face, prostrate, and said, "Oh God, I am sorry that I even questioned what you were doing." Why? Because Job at the end received double blessing. So there's a complete reversal, and there's a double blessing for Job acting in faith and acknowledging God's authority and sovereignty even through the difficulty you face. So having received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins, the comfort's in the contrast. The contrast in this particular case is to recognize, to see in our own lives the depth, the aggravation, the agitation to God that our sins really are. And the comfort is in knowing that we are made of flesh, frail, and our humanity is fallen, that the only alternative is accept grace, mercy, receive it, and receive it from his hand. We've received double for our sins from his hand, but his hands are open to those that fear him in mercy and grace, that her warfare is accomplished. God is accomplished in the challenges that the nation had gone through, their warfare, what he had desired, that they were brought to their senses, if anything can be said. They were brought, unfortunately, to nothing. And by this being here, that's the other part of recognizing our fallenness and frailty, is that we are not forever, but God's word is. That we are changeable and our circumstances can change, but God is unchanging. That he is eternal. That he is who he is, and we are who we are. And that provides great comfort in the contrast. And so there is this issue of having received the Lord's hand double for all our sins. There's this idea of a ceasing of enmities, that the enemy is no longer, and so he is no longer our worry or concern. This doesn't change the circumstance, but it changes our perception. Maybe you don't get what I'm saying by that. Here's a nation defeated. Their central city is demolished. Their people are scattered. There are dead to grieve. There are women who were ravaged. There are children who were dashed against the wall. That's what the scriptures teach about this circumstance. And you are left to grieve. You are left there with nothing. Your circumstance has not changed. You still have nothing. You still are grieving. You still are wrestling with why. You may not even been the most guilty sinner of all the sinners there. And you are supposed to be comforted by receiving from the Lord's hand double and the warfare being accomplished. God having achieved what he intended through this. How does that change your circumstance? It doesn't. But you are to be comforted because your perception of God being in control and doing what he said he's going to do, God being God, is comforting. And how can it be comforting? Well, here, that central portion, that central statement in verse 2, that her iniquity is pardoned. The God is not just a God of power. The God is not just a God of paying you back for your sins. But God is a God of pardon. And if God is a God of pardon, then he's a God of truth and justice and compassion and mercy. He's not just here to say tough luck. The New Testament is pretty clear on how this is accomplished in us. How many would echo those words? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, both, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a beautiful picture of divine mercy. What a loving expression of divine grace. I have nothing more to say other than this. Have you received pardon for your iniquities from the Lord? It's a simple one-step process. One step. You go to God and you say, I'm a frail, failure, fallen human being, and I need your forgiveness. I'm no different than anybody who was in Jerusalem at the time of this prophecy. You've accomplished in my life whatever warfare it is that you wanted to accomplish, God, and I need your pardon. I've felt your hand in my life, and it feels like I got a double whammy, and I need your forgiveness. I mean, that's a longer prayer than just the one step that I said, but it really is just one step. God, forgive me. I need your grace. Would you give it to me? Comfort of a different kind. I remember just quickly when I first trusted the Lord Jesus to save me from my sins. I was a kid. I couldn't have done that many bad things, but I felt them. I felt that I was, oh God, I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved. I need you, God, to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me from my unrighteousness. He made the way, you know that. He gave himself a ransom. He went to the cross to redeem me from my sins. He paid the price. He gave himself so that I might go free. All these are expressions that we've heard before, but have you received pardon?
do you know that Jesus is your Savior because He has forgiven you of your sins? This is the gospel. This is the voice of comfort. Oh, I remember how bad I felt inside. It was shame. It was grief because there were things that I'd done badly that I couldn't take back. They were already done. There was a lot of regret, and that's disturbing. I mean, you don't have to be that old to feel the weight of sin. And some of you who are older know the full weight of sin, of iniquity, of what your transgressions have caused. And oh, it's heavy. And the scriptures teaches right here that God is a God, yes, who pays double, but then He says, this is easy, because I'm God. I created the foundation of the entire earth. I can take this burden that you're feeling. I can lift it right off you. Why? Because I made everything. I can just lift it up. And it's off of you. And it's on to... And you know the story. It's on to Jesus. He has cast our sins as far away as the east is from the west. Psalm 103. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. I will do all of this for your comfort, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Let that glory be revealed in your life today. That God would show Himself powerful and strong in you. You may have received double for what you've done, but He is a God of mercy and will pardon you. Let Him do it today. Shall we pray? Oh God, the power of a prophet's voice. We come to look for easy words of gentleness and comfort and inspiration. We don't come to hear something challenging and strong. And we don't want to see, God, You and Your demanding, the sense that we are obligated to follow You. Because You're a creator God who created all things beautiful, and we fell. And in our fallenness, God, everything's a mess. And You are offended. We didn't come here to hear that. How's that comforting? But God, we did hear the voice, and He calls out to us, oh, by Your Spirit. And in some strange way, Your Spirit nudges us, calls out to us, and it's endearing. Oh God, that we would listen today. Receive Your pardon, Your grace, for we ask it in Jesus' name.